25302.
Thank you, Cap.
Thank you.
Would you like to identify yourself for the record?
Good morning, Sergeant Brianna Maurice, M-A-U-R-I-C-E. I am here on behalf of the Commissioner of the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection.
Thank you. And a summary of your case, Sergeant? Would you like to identify your witness now?
I'd be happy to. Go ahead, sir.
My name is Corporal Zachary Cosenza of the South Windsor Police Department.
A lot louder.
Corporal Zachary Cosenza, C-O-S-E-N-Z-A of the South Windsor Police Department.
Thank you.
Before I begin my summary, I just want to make the board aware, we are prepared to put a case on for suitability. However, I felt it prudent to inform the board that the appellant does have a prior conviction for a DUI in 2020 and a subsequent arrest for DUI in 2024, the charges of which are still pending. So pursuant to 14227A, if convicted, this would be a third DUI arrest and a second conviction, and the court has the discretion to sub this up to a felony. So while there is not a felony, a pending felony on the record at this time, I just want to bring it to the board's attention that there is a possibility that this could be subbed up to a felony, but we will be putting on a suitability case.
And if it were to go up to a felony, then what?
There would be an immediate revocation. Even if the board were to find in her favor today, upon the conviction of a felony by the court, we would immediately revoke.
And do you understand what she has just said?
Yes.
So it's possible that even if we were to grant your appeal today, if you end up being convicted of a felony, that would wipe out our approval? You know that?
Sure.
And also, you have pending charges?
Yes.
And anything you say today is a public record and could be used by the prosecutor regarding those charges.
Sure.
Just aware of that.
Okay, I'm going to proceed, if that's good with you guys.
You're willing to proceed under those circumstances?
I am. Okay, very good. The app has held a permit since 2005. It was originally revoked in July of '26 due to a DUI investigation by the Hartford Police Department, of which the charges of DUI and carrying under the influence were nollied in September of 2017. The appellant did not reserve an appeal at that time and was forced to reapply and was issued a new permit in August of 2019. A subsequent arrest for DUI by the Manchester Police Department in November of 2019, so a little over a year after receiving the new permit, and a conviction in December of 2020. There was no revocation involved in that case. However, I believe that the existence of that conviction alone bears mentioning to this case before you. The reason we are here is for a DUI arrest by the South Windsor Police Department in November of 2024, which, as previously mentioned, is still a pending case, along with additional charges of interfering, operating an unregistered motor vehicle, and failure to slow down or move over for an emergency vehicle. The next court date for this case is May 5th of this year, and it is currently in a pretrial status. It should be noted that the appellant, while was not charged with carrying a firearm under the influence, a firearm was in her vehicle during this arrest, much like the first case I mentioned that was nollied. And my witness will get into further details of that. It is requested of the board that based on the previous history of alcohol, we do not believe she is suitable to hold a permit.
Do you have a summary of your case, ma'am?
Yes, I was improperly charged with carrying a pistol, a firearm, at the time of that 11/24 arrest, which charge was subsequently removed by the time of my first arraignment. The very first incident was a car accident, nothing out of the ordinary.
This is just a summary now.
So that would be it for the 11/24.
Can I call my witness, please?
Yes.
Okay. He's previously introduced himself, but if you could, just state your name, title, and who you work for the record.
My name is Corporal Zachary Cosenza from the South Windsor Police Department. During this incident in November 2024, I was employed by the South Windsor Police Department. On that day, I was conducting another motor vehicle stop at approximately 1:30 in the morning. During that time, I was walking back to my cruiser when the appellate's vehicle almost struck my cruiser and me. There was no indication that she was going to move over to, like, so that she did not hit me. We were on a two-lane road of Route 5, so I ended that traffic stop, was able to catch up to her vehicle, and subsequently conducted a motor vehicle stop on the appellate's vehicle. My initial contact with the appellant, her words were slurred, she was sluggish. Through my training experience, it was pretty immediate that she was under the influence of an intoxicating liquor and or drugs. I did the standard procedure. I asked her for her license, registration, insurance. During that time, the appellate was able to take off her seatbelt. I think she turned on the light, and then she reached into the glove box. She took something out of the glove box, put it on the front seat, the passenger seat. She was the only one in the car at the time. The next thing she took out of that glove box was her firearm. It wasn't a holster. She kind of looked at it, appeared confused, put it back in the glove box as if I didn't see it. And at that time, I tried to restrain her from accessing that firearm again. So I maintained control of her left arm through the open window. At this time, the appellate became non-compliant and was not listening to commands. I was eventually able to get the door open, and at this time I'm there by myself. I had called for backup, but they were en route from wherever they were in town. I was able to eventually get her out of the vehicle, but she resisted that process, so I was grabbing hold of her arm, had to kind of grab her hoodie to control her. As I'm trying to do that and only have control of her left arm, she continues reaching around the vehicle with her right arm. Given the fact that I had already seen the firearm, I'm obviously in fear for my safety in the situation, with her having access to the rest of that vehicle. So I'm able to eventually get her out of the vehicle and detain her in handcuffs. At that time, my backup officers are arriving. The appellate refused to walk away from the vehicle, so she kind of just did the stiff leg where it became very difficult to remove her even further. At that point, she is able to speak and form full sentences. It again begins clear or remains clear that she is under the influence of something. I think at some point during that, I've asked her how much she had to drink. She said that she had something to drink at her friend's house. So we go through the process on scene. Eventually, we try to get her into the back of a cruiser. She tries to walk back towards her car at some point during that, which obviously we aren't going to allow based off the firearm being in the vehicle. And when myself and another officer attempt to place her in the back of a cruiser, while she's detained, she refuses to enter that cruiser, so we have to struggle with her to get her in the back of that car. Up to this point, the appellate believes that we have illegally searched her vehicle for that firearm. The only thing I did was secure that firearm from the glove box so that we knew where it was for our safety. So we struggle with her to get her in the back of the cruiser. During that process, we ask her if she's willing to conduct the SFSTs, the standardized field sobriety testing, to which she declines. So at that point, she's under arrest for the charges that were listed previously. The South Windsor PD has an inventory policy, so before we tow a vehicle, we search cars for items of value and things like that. So her firearm was seized for safekeeping at that time. And then she was brought back to the police department to conduct the processing portion of the arrest. She was extremely uncooperative during that process. She refused to answer questions, and she had to be placed into a cell to kind of sober up during that time because she refused to be fingerprinted, refused to answer questions. She also declined to provide a chemical sample. We requested a breath sample. She declined to provide that as well. Eventually, she was able to be processed and subsequently released. That's it.
Perfect. Thank you. You mentioned that there was a firearm in the glove box. Can you explain the condition of that firearm? What was the status of it? Loaded, unloaded?
So afterwards, when we were able to seize that, we were able to realize that the firearm was in a holster. There was not a round in the chamber, and the magazine was not inserted in the gun, but it was attached to the holster. It was like a holster that holds the gun and the magazine together, so all of those items were together in one thing, but there were the magazine and the there was not a round in the chamber at the time.
Okay, so just to confirm, if the trigger was pulled on that firearm, a round would not have been discharged?
Correct.
Okay. But you did not know that upon your initial first glance when it was pulled out of the glove box?
Correct, I did not know that.
Okay. Within the reports that were provided to the board, there was a supplemental report that indicated that there was an initial charge of carrying a firearm under the influence. Can you speak as to why that charge was subsequently taken off?
So that charge was subsequently taken off due to the status of the firearm at the time. She was originally charged with that based off the situation on scene, but upon further review, it was determined that that statute did not apply based off the magazine not being loaded into the firearm in the glove box.
Okay, so just to confirm, her charges were DUI, interfering based on her actions,
yes,
and operating an unregistered motor vehicle.
Yes.
Okay. In my prior dealings from law enforcement with intoxicated people, a lot of times they are loud and verbally not wanting to participate or cooperate, but their actions are doing it. They're going to protest while they're doing it, but they're still going to do what you were asking of her. Was that her general consensus, or she was not cooperative all the way around?
She was not cooperative all the way around. We had to force her into the back of the car. She tried to stick her feet out where we had to, you know, kind of sit her up and, you know, get her to stay in the vehicle. Like I said, during that processing back at the police department, she was uncooperative, where, you know, people can be loud and yell and do things while we're fingerprinting them, which is fine, but if we have to put you in a cell to hold you there until you're sober enough to have that conversation, then you're uncooperative throughout the entire process.
Thank you. At any point in your interaction, do you recall asking the appellant about any medication she had been taking?
I do not recall.
Okay, and any medical conditions that she had that may have contributed to her?
I do not recall. I don't think those questions would have been asked due to the failure to comply with the SFSDs.
Understood. Okay. You referenced that the appellant was kind of scattered thoughts, couldn't finish a full sentence. Was that consistent throughout your interaction with her from, you know, both roadside as well as within the processing of the police department?
Yes.
Okay.
It would have been consistent throughout the entire process.
Thank you. Is there anything that I did not ask you about that you feel the board should know regarding this case?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. No further questions for this witness, please.
Would you like to cross-examine this witness?
I would. You said the reason why you removed the pistol charge was because it was in violation of statute 52 what? Was it 227?
I don't have the statute off the top of my head.
Well,
the reason... 53206.
206. Okay, so by my recollection, a pistol permit, you can only be charged with carrying possession of a pistol permit if it's on your person. It was not on my person. It was locked away in my car. And so that was number one. Who advised you to remove the charge?
They did not go forward with that charge.
Right. It was removed before my first arraignment date, but the reasoning that he just gave is not, I believe, the correct reasoning.
You weren't charged with that, so...
Because it was not loaded,
right,
is what he was saying. He said because the loaded magazine was outside the firearm, it was not a loaded handgun under 53206.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it was removed.
But I believe possession means that you have to, the pistol has to be on your person.
Well, it's constructive possession, because even if you had a purse and you had a firearm in your purse, it's not on your person, right? So, you, or it has to be within your reach. Think about like unlawful storage of a firearm, right? I can't just put my gun on the table with my six-year-old running around, you know what I mean? Like, I'm still in control of that firearm,
sure,
if it's within arm's reach. So you have to look at the actual case law around. But if you're still in control of that firearm, which it being your glove box immediate wingspan, you have to think of Terry and Long, control over the item at that point, especially a vehicle.
Yeah, and frankly, you did possess it when you took it out of the glove compartment.
Well, I didn't. It fell, well, that's subject to determination because it fell out of the glove compartment. The other thing is that the...
But this isn't the...
No, but it was in a holster.
Right,
so
the gun thing isn't an issue. They didn't charge you with that. It's not what his case is based on.
Okay, do you recollect what the other item was that I pulled out of the glove compartment? Was it not the ID that you've been asking me for? My wallet?
I don't know what else was taken out of the glove box. An item was taken out of the glove box and placed on the passenger seat. Then a firearm was removed from the glove box that got put back in the glove box. At some point during my interaction with her roadside, once she was detained, I asked her where her ID was, and she said, it's in the car with my gun. Or something along those lines.
Do you have other questions for the witness?
Not at this time.
Questions from the board?
Just one. When you initially saw the appellant's vehicle come almost strike yours, did you have your emergency lights on, your cruise lights on?
Yes, all emergency lights were activated as I was on a current traffic stop, so I was trying to walk back to my driver's side of the vehicle to get back in my car, but all of my emergency lights were activated.
And that's when her vehicle almost struck yours, correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
Other questions from the board? Would you like to tell us your case, ma'am?
Yes, so that evening I was leaving my friend's house. We had normal dinner, we watched movies, I fell asleep at her house. I was on my way home and I did see that he had somebody pulled over. The sirens and lights were, I'm not sure if the sirens were on, but the lights were definitely illuminated. And my eyes are very light sensitive. I provided you guys with records from my optometrist that says so. The lights are the reason why I slowed down almost to a stop, is because I couldn't see. I'm coming off the highway, which is a very dark turn and a curve at the same time, and I saw his sirens and immediately my eyes started to water. So I pulled over. He did. He followed me for just a bit because I saw his lights, and then I recognized now the lights are behind me. So I immediately pulled over, and when he asked for my ID, I go to the glove compartment. My gun, like, pretty much almost falls into the seat because I'm trying to reach my wallet to prepare to give him my identification. At that time, when he saw the gun, he grabbed my arm, violently twisted it over the door, and he was handling me in such a way, it was impossible for me to comply. My arms were hurting. I had sensitivity in my wrist for over a month, which I treated for. And from that point forward, I didn't feel safe with him. So once they did get me to, I believe it was daylight savings time too. So when he says 1:30 in the morning, I think it almost seems like it's 1:30 in the morning, but in my head it's 12:30.
Yeah, it was daylight.
So, and a drunk person wouldn't remember all this stuff. However, after that arrest, my brother picked me up. I had arraignment. Well, first, before I say that, my car was due to be registered the Wednesday of that week. I had just transferred it out of my boyfriend's name. Didn't know that he was going to, like, take the registration and everything out so quickly. So that was that. But I did have a standing appointment with motor vehicle. I'm very responsible. I know how to handle myself. And so all of those things were going to be taken care of within, like, days. That said, at the time that I went to court for my first arraignment, then was when I recognized the charge was removed. And I couldn't understand why they made a referral to you all. Because if the charge was removed and it was based off the pistol in and of itself, why did they still make that referral? It almost seemed opportunistic. And in a sense, I'm not sure why he did what he did. I appreciate the fact that they did recognize that they erroneously charged me. However, all of the aftermath, I'm still paying consequences for that I think are unfair. And as we said, the case is pending, so we'll see what the courts say.
Where do you live?
East Hartford.
East Hartford.
It's a revocation.
Yeah, I know. Would you like to cross-examine?
I would, thank you. You explained that you have sensitivity to your eyes. Mm-hmm. In your packet, you indicated that in the bright daylight, bright sunshine, you have your eyes react as if they would, if it was very dark.
Sure.
And there were bright lights.
It's not the same all the time. It depends on how bright and how dark.
Understood. Would you not think it important to somewhat tailor your lifestyle if you struggle with that?
Absolutely. In fact, I barely drove at night then.
Okay.
So, absolutely.
Okay. I don't believe anywhere in the report it indicates what you had to drink or how much you had to drink. Can you clarify that for us?
I had a drink with dinner, and it was vodka and cranberry.
Okay, and did you eat out? Did you pour that drink, or did somebody pour that drink for you?
Somebody poured it for me.
Okay. The report indicates, you just said that you were due to register that vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
It was in your boyfriend's name. About how long had you broken up with your boyfriend prior to this incident?
Oh, we've been broken up for years, but we still had a lot of ties together. We
okay.
owned property together, and it's taken a lot to kind of separate those affairs.
Okay. When you made your appointment at DMV, did you realize the vehicle had not been registered for almost 2 years? The registration on the vehicle expired in 2023. So it was not a short lapse of changing from one to another. The car had not been registered.
No, I didn't realize that.
Okay.
In fact, I thought out of him being heinous, he kind of just did it without me knowing when we did the transfer paperwork.
Got it.
So.
And I would be hard-pressed if I didn't ask, do you think you have a problem with alcohol?
Absolutely not.
Okay. I have no other questions.
Did you have a previous incident where you were charged with DUI?
In 2018, and I pled guilty because I was.
But you don't think you have a drinking problem?
No.
And you had one prior to that?
That was a car accident.
But you were charged with DUI?
Yeah.
And you took the program? Did you do a program?
I did.
Questions from the board?
So when you were at your friend's house?
Yes.
Where was the firearm at that time?
In the glove compartment.
Ian was the. So when you left your friend's house, you were heading home.
Yeah.
And when the police officer did the motor vehicle stop, did you have to remove the key from the ignition to open the glove compartment?
No, it's keyless.
Oh, the car's keyless.
Yeah.
So how does the glove compartment lock?
With a key.
And where's the key?
It's on the key fob.
Key
it
fob.
Comes out of a key fob.
Okay, so you didn't, so did you have to unlock the glove compartment?
No.
So the glove compartment was unlocked?
Yes.
When did you unlock the glove compartment?
It stays unlocked pretty much because I'm the only one in the vehicle most times. And so then I have access to my ID. That's where I keep my wallet.
And so when you're at your friend's house, then the glove compartment was unlocked there?
Yeah, but the car's locked. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's all I have.
Do you have a final statement you'd like to make?
I provided you all with a letter that kind of summarizes my character. And I know this could be kind of difficult to look at when you see the history. I get it. But the fact is that these are three very separate occurrences for different reasons. This is unfortunate because I think they overcharged and misjudged, and I'm still paying consequences for it. I know I got to do what I have to do, but 2018 incident, totally different, different circumstances. I pled because I was guilty, and that was that. I do not have an alcohol problem, and I would like for you all to reinstate my privileges, and if I have to deal with whatever it is they come up with later, then I'll deal with that.
Your final statement, ma'am?
Thank you. The appellant has been arrested 3 times for DUI in what I would consider to be a short period, 10 years. Not only is she careless and reckless, she's making choices that could potentially be deadly. Not only operating a vehicle, she's operating a vehicle that isn't registered. And while she did take accountability for a prior DUI by stating she, you know, was guilty, so she pled guilty, I think it was shown today that she is picking and choosing what things she takes accountability for and what things she doesn't take accountability for. And while she is saying one thing, I think her actions are speaking a different song. I think she did disclose positive character references, and she does have what appears to be a positive impact on the people around her. I am requesting that the state uphold the decision to revoke her pistol permit just based on her prior actions and her the current circumstance we're before you guys about today. Thank you.
This is a revocation by the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection. The revocation is a suitability revocation. The revocation is based on a 2024 arrest in which the appellant was operating a motor vehicle. We had testimony from a South Windsor police officer who stated he was on a traffic stop, saw the appellant's vehicle nearly strike him and his cruiser, made a motor vehicle stop. While speaking with the operator, who was the appellant, reached across the to her glove compartment, opened the glove compartment to retrieve her identification. While she was taking her wallet out, a handgun that was in a holster was either taken out or the appellant testified that it sort of fell out. She put it back into the glove compartment. The police officer, being concerned because of the handling of the firearm, actively attempted to take the appellant into custody. The police officer testified that during the traffic stop and during the subsequent interactions, the appellant was very uncooperative to the point that she was charged with interfering. She refused to take any of this standardized field sobriety test and also refused the breathalyzer. The appellant had her pistol permit since 2005. She was revoked in 2016 when she was arrested for DWI and also carrying a firearm. She was afforded the program at that point, so those charges were acknowledged. She has a conviction from a arrest and conviction in 2019 for DWI. She has multiple positive letters of reference in the package she supplied to us, along with a very positive performance appraisal from her employer. She did testify that she had an appointment for DMV to rectify the vehicle's unregistered status just several days prior, or several days after the arrest.
Thank you. Comments from the board?
I have one.
Yes.
Just a note for the record that Connecticut General Statute 29-38 G Gulf, storing or keeping pistol or revolver in unattended motor vehicle, prohibited, exceptions, penalty. A1, no person shall store or keep any pistol or revolver in any motor vehicle that is unattended unless such pistol or revolver is in the trunk, a locked safe, or locked glove box. Misdemeanor for first offense, felony for a subsequent offense. Improper storage is a big deal for us, especially when guns are stolen on a regular basis.
As always, I look at a person's conduct in handling a gun to predict what they're going to be doing in the future. Things like DWI obviously bears on someone's judgment, but to me the bottom line is how is someone safely or unsafely carrying, owning, storing a firearm. That's going to weigh in my decision.
Other comments? Voting, Chief
Rosenzweig.
Issuing authority.
Attorney Evangelisti.
Issuing authority.
Colonel Overturf.
Issuing authority.
Attorney Sinetti.
Issuing authority.
Dr. Conrad.
Issuing authority.
Chair votes issuing authority.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you. Thanks. Thank
you. Good lunch break. Thank you. We're going to take about 20 minutes for a lunch break. For those of you who are waiting, there is a cafe right around the corner where you could also have lunch.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Absolutely.
Within 20 days.
I notice a decision.
It's 20 days. How about that?
It's going to be a public record. It's on the board.
I'm glad you did
that.
I was questioning myself. That's what I thought the law was.
I knew it was.
Yeah, no. I know. I didn't follow up. No, I didn't know for sure.
Yeah, no, I was just going to do that. Yeah.
Oh, good. I figured someone
would do it. Yeah.
I was going to say it, but you know what?
No,
I'm not sure.
No, I just told you.
You got your roast beef sandwich.
Thank you. I'll leave anything, no matter what you want.
I know, but
you can change it up every time, and I'll still do it.
You got to tell me if you want something different.
I'm scared.
Yeah.
for the rap.
It doesn't matter. I'll do anything. Nancy, we still on the record?
Are we?
Red lights on.
Just shut it off. It's going to be a long hearing.